You've tuned in to Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church.
Good Wednesday evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking at passages out of the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with us there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is one of those Bible studies that rely heavily upon our knowledge of things of the end times. And I'm going to try to piece that together for you in case you miss it. There's so much to be found in these particular passages that we're going to look at tonight. So we're in hopes that your day is going well. You've come through election season. If you're like me, you're ready to not see political ads for a while. So I know that this evening some people are happy, some people are not. But the only thing I want to remind each and every one of us is that no matter which stance you took, whether you're happy this evening about the results of the election or not, God is still in control, and that's the main thing that we need to remember. And that kind of dovetails in with our Bible study this evening as we look at it. So before we get started, I want to ask you, do you think that we're living in the last days before the return of Christ? And as you think about that for a few moments, there are certain reasons that are going to come to your mind. There are certain things and certain aspects that will either cause you to say yes or they'll either cause you to say no. Paul addresses these items in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he's talking about some things that are going to be taking place in the end times. I want to make sure that we're in the right era, and you'll understand in just a moment what I'm talking about as we view these verses. Let's look right now at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading verse 1. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you now. We just ask that, Lord, you would still our heart before you. Lord, that you would help us to put aside any distractions that may keep us from hearing your word today. And that we might, Lord, truly hear a word from you. Teach us from your word today the things that we need to know. Lord, help us to be ready for when your return comes. Lord, help us to make sure that we have the right ideas and concepts based on biblical premise. And Lord, just be with your messenger for these moments, that you and you alone truly are lifted up, that you might draw all men unto you. And Lord, we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a moment ago, I asked if you felt like we were living in the last days, as you see things going on. Now, if you were are a part of our church, or if you saw our Sunday broadcast, that is exactly one of the things that we spoke about. We talked about how the Bible says that during the times of the end, it will be as such as the days of Noah, as well as the times of Lot. And we saw what was taking place and going on in those days, how sin was just running rampant, how people had turned away from God, and in the book of Genesis, it actually says God regretted that he had even made man. Of course, we know that the flood took place. You know, he saved Noah and his family and gave another chance. But as we look at the world today, what are those things that you're seeing? Now, in our text today, you know, Paul answers questions concerning what the Thessalonians thought about the return of Christ. And as believers, do we need to be concerned about missing the return of Christ? Is it something that we need to have that concept of? Is it something that we need to have paramount in our mind? And I believe the question is, yes, we do. Yeah, it's one of those things that as we look at the scripture, he begins to talk about not being, verse 2, not being shaken, soon shaken in mind or troubled by the Spirit or the Word, as if those, as the days of Christ had already come. So, you know, one of the things that we need to understand is that what the era of time is when it comes down to this. This is one of the things that Paul was meaning. Now, I think as Christians, we misuse the term the return of Christ very often. If you look at it essentially in the letter of the law, and you look at it in the eschatology or the things of the end time, very often we'll sit back and say, we're waiting for the return of Christ. Actually, the next great thing that we're looking for is what's called the rapture. And the rapture is what we'll read about in Thessalonians as well. It says that the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air, to be with him forever. So you have to remember that when the rapture takes place, Jesus never sets foot on earth. So in the truest sense of the term, that's not what biblically is referred to as the return of Christ, because he doesn't set foot there. Now, let me lay out for you the way this thing happens. The next great event that we're looking for is called the rapture, and that's what we just explained. When the Lord calls us out, we meet him together in the air. It will be followed by a seven-year tribulation period. That is when the Antichrist will rise, and we'll see that in these passages as well. That's when the Antichrist rises. Havoc and mayhem takes place upon the earth. The Battle of Armageddon will take place at that point. Now, when the actual, by terms, return of Christ takes place, it is what is going to end the tribulation period, and it will be the beginning of what is called the thousand-year millennial reign on earth. We will come back with the Lord. That's when he'll set foot on this earth. That's when we will have that time and that opportunity for a thousand years. For things, and the best way for me to describe it is for things to be like God intended them to be before the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden. So you have to understand that bit of eschatology as we go forward to remember what Paul's talking about when he's talking about the return of Christ. So there are two things that Paul said in verse 3 must happen before the return. Look with me if you would at verse 3. It says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." It says, now let me give that to you in a different translation. It says, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." So there are two things. It talks about this falling away. When you look at the world today and you think about it being in the form and the days as it was in Noah as well as in Lot, you don't have to be a sociologist to realize how our world has changed. It's changing daily. But you look over the past 10 years and 20 years and 30 years, there is a tremendous falling away. People, at least at one point, used to respect Christianity and used to respect Christians. That's not so in this day and age. It's everything. Everything is against. Seems like it's against Christianity or anything of the Lord. We've taken him out of schools when it comes down to prayer. We've taken him out of so many things that God says I am to be a part of. Now let's go back to that verse for just a minute. So we realize that before this happens, there's going to be a falling away. It says, go to verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." That means the son of destruction. So who is that? When we think about that, that is talking about the Antichrist. Now remember I told you a minute ago, when it comes down to eschatology, you think about the rapture takes place. You're not going to see the Antichrist until that 7-year tribulation period. Now, folks have often asked me this question. They have often said, well, do you believe that the Antichrist is alive and living today? And my answer is emphatically yes. The scripture will prove that to us, and I'm going to show you that in just a moment. People will often say, well, do you think he's a baby? Do you think he's a grown man? Because what they're trying to do is figure out, you know, whether or not they think we're close to the time of the Lord. And I'll tell them, no, it's a grown man. Now, here's what we must understand about that. The Bible tells us that no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man will return. That includes Satan. So what that generally means is that throughout all of history, Satan has always had to have an Antichrist ready to go, you know, at a moment's notice. Because if the rapture would occur today, just like that, there needs to be that person who can wield influence in our society. It needs to be somebody who can step in and deceive the world, as we read in this passage that we're talking about today. Somebody that in the tribulation time the world will look to for all the answers. So let's go back and read that verse again in its context. It says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, we actually get another really good piece of information there in the latter part of verse 4. When you think about that, notice what it says. It talks about this Antichrist. It says it's not going to happen until he is revealed, and it says something that he is actually going to do. Notice in verse 4, it says, so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Now, when we think about this, the temple, we know that according to the Word of God, the temple is going to be rebuilt during that 7-year tribulation period time. So if he's going to sit on the throne and he's going to exalt himself as God, that means that we can narrow that down to that 7-year tribulation period when the temple will be rebuilt. So once again, this is the Bible fitting together just as it's intended to. And that's why it's so important for us to study the Bible and to know these things. You know, Paul refers to that falling away. He refers to that rebellion. And he also gives us some characteristics of the Antichrist in verses 3 and 4. And the Antichrist, it says, is going to proclaim himself not only to be a God, but to be the God. We've known that since the beginning of anything that we know of, that part of the reason that Satan was cast out of heaven was because his pride. He felt like he should be equal to God. And he felt like God wasn't being fair to him because he wanted to be God. If you notice that everything that Satan does is an unbiblical copy of what God has done. You know, in Christianity or spirituality, you've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, on the other side of it, you've got Satan, the Antichrist. I mean, he has his unholy trinity as well. But he says, I'm going to sit in the temple and I am going to proclaim to be God. Now, we know that that is something that's going to take place in the 7-year tribulation period, simply because that is when the word tells us that the temple is going to be rebuilt. So he gives us some Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, verses 3 and 4. And that's who he's going to proclaim himself to be. Now Paul spoke of a force in verses 6 and 7 that is restraining this Antichrist. Look with me at verses 6 and 7. It says, "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." So what that tells us is that right now there is something or someone or something that is restraining the Antichrist from going ahead and running amok in this world. Do you know what that force is? Well, the Bible tells us what it is. It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what is restraining the Antichrist from being able to run amok in this world today. That's the only thing that is stopping him from doing everything that Satan wants him to do. So when do you think that this force, the Holy Spirit, as we've identified it, when do you think that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of this world, or when do you think he's going to be taken away? Well, let me tell you what I believe based on Scripture. I believe that that's going to take place once the rapture occurs. Once all of God's people are called out, I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to take his hands off, and the Antichrist is going to be allowed to run amok during that time of that seven-year tribulation period. Now, you have to ask yourself this. What is the fate that awaits at the return of Christ? Verse 8, it says, And when the lawlessness one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with his breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Yeah, he's going to be destroyed. Now, he goes on, he says, too, that there's some certain things that are going to be taking place during this time of tribulation. Verse 10 says, And with all unrighteous deception, this is talking about the Antichrist, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Folks, that is why myself, that is why other preachers, good, godly, biblical preachers, maybe even the preacher at the church that you attend, forcefully and is so ready to preach the gospel of Christ that we must turn to him. We must ask forgiveness. We must be saved, because the word tells us that once the rapture occurs, once we're taken out and the Holy Spirit is removed and the Antichrist is allowed to run amok in the world, the people are going to be deceived. Yeah, you think of it. Now, people have asked me before, they say, well, do you believe that people will have an opportunity to come to know Christ if they missed the rapture? If the trumpet sounded, God called all these people out and they were left, do I believe, based on the Word of God, that people will have an opportunity to be saved? The answer to that question is yes. Now, I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want to give you a biblical reason why I say yes. Because the Lord also promises during that time of tribulation that there will be 144,000 sealed of God. And I believe that those are going to be, the best way for me to relate them in this day and age is that there are 144,000 missionaries that will proclaim the word throughout the world. Do I believe that people can come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior during that time? Yes, I do. Here's the problem with that. They will. The majority of them are going to die as martyrs. They're going to have to give up their life for what they believe. Because during that time, it also talks about how the mark of the beast will have to be taken for a person to be able to sell, buy, or trade anything. And the word also tells us that if a person takes that mark of the beast, then they've sealed their fate at that particular point. So I do believe that there will be people who will have an opportunity to come to know the Lord during the time of tribulation through the witness of the 144,000, as well as what we later hear about the two witnesses that will prophesy outside of the temple. Now, I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you. That's why I said there are so many things that are important for us to know, to have a good grasp and a good understanding of what's taking place in these particular passages. Now, when we think about who will fall away under the wicked deception that's mentioned there in verse 10, we see that, let's just look at it. Verse 10, it says, And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Those that are perishing are those who never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Folks, there are some terrible, terrible days that lie ahead. I certainly hope that when the rapture takes place and when the rapture occurs, that it's not something that you miss. I know that I've already got my reservation. I know that when that trumpet sounds, I am going to be called out to be with him. I'm not going to have to deal with all the havoc and mayhem of this earth or that the Antichrist will bring about. Because I'm already going to be with the Lord. My prayer is that you will also be prepared and ready so that when that time takes place, that you will never have to see one single moment of that tribulation time, but that you will be called out before God allows Satan to run amok in this world for that 7-year tribulation period just prior to when he comes back to place foot on this earth, and we come back with him to rule and reign for 1,000 years, which is what is called the millennium. So what does it mean to love the truth? That means the truth. What has the Lord told us? That he is the truth. The truth is what makes us free. Jesus is what makes us free. See, if you refuse to love the truth, you're more prone to believe what's false. See, what happens to all of those who refuse to believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness, as verse 12 says? Let's go ahead and pick up verses 11 and 12. It says, "And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." You know, when I read about some of the things that are going to take place during that time of tribulation, it says that they're going to be such great delusion that people still will not turn to the Lord, even in that time of tribulation. You know, there's one passage that when we read about the eschatology and when we read about what's taking place in that 7-year tribulation period, it talks about the two witnesses that will prophesy outside the temple. It talks about when they will be killed. It says that they will lay in the street for days, but it says that will bring so much joy to the world that they'll actually be buying and giving gifts to one another. They will be celebrating the death of those two prophets. Now, we also realize, too, that those two prophets will resurrect on the third day. You've heard that story before as well, but those two prophets are going to resurrect as well. But could you imagine the hatred that must be in the hearts of those, the deception that is going on with those who will celebrate the death of those two witnesses that were prophesying outside the temple? So let me ask you this today. What is it that you need to do to be ready for the return of Christ? If he were returned today, what would be your greatest regret? You know, if you were one of those people and you missed it, because the word tells us that when the rapture occurs, it's going to happen in a moment. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. And then all of a sudden, I mean, imagine this. If every Christian person in the world disappeared just like that. Now, if you had a Christian pilot, airplanes are going to be crashing. You got Christians driving out on the road. They've disappeared. There's going to be accidents all over the world, not just in your local place, but all over the world. You're going to see people just at their jobs are just going to be gone. They're just going to disappear, and people that are left are going to be looking for answers. You know, Holy Spirit takes his hands of restraint off of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will stand up and give some sort of explanation as to why everybody disappeared. Going to give some explanation as to what happened, and people are going to be deceived. People are going to believe that. You know, if he were to return today, I would hope and pray that your greatest regret would be that you didn't receive Christ. And just maybe if you had knowledge of him and you had delayed or you had been putting it off and you had that opportunity to receive him during the tribulation, know that it's going to cost you your life to serve him from that point. It's going to be a short one, but you're going to lose your life. What are your regrets? If it happened today, what regrets would you have? What would be your greatest delight if it happened today? Because we have those on both sides of the coin. My greatest delight would be running the race, you know, finishing the course, having that opportunity to see my Savior face to face, to look at him and prayerfully hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. You were faithful through the journey. Now for all of eternity." And all of eternity is something that we can't even begin to fathom. We cannot even understand eternity based on the concept of time as we know it. So for all of eternity, I will get to live in the joy and the pleasure and the bliss in the place that God has created for me because I received his only begotten Son. That will be my greatest reward, as it were. But, you know, the Lord tells us that through our lives we earn rewards. But we don't earn them for ourselves. We earn them that we might lay it at the feet of Jesus. I've used this terminology before and will continue to use it. I don't want to show up to the party in heaven without a gift to be able to lay at my Savior's feet. And what a blessing it is to be able to have that opportunity to serve our Lord and Savior. So today when we think about that, I hope I didn't throw in this short amount of time so much at you to confuse you. The biggest things that we need to understand, the next great event that we as Christians are looking for is the rapture, when the trumpet sounds, when God calls us out to be with Him. That will be followed by a seven-year period of tribulation. Things are going to be actually pretty good for those on earth for that first 3.5 years, but the latter 3.5 years, which also is called the Great Tribulation. If you've ever heard that term, and somebody uses that term, the Great Tribulation, that's actually referring to the latter 3.5 years of the tribulation period, which is a total of 7 years. So it's divided into two, 3.5 and 3.5. So, you know, people are going to be deceived during that time. And remember this, the rapture is not the proper term for the return of Christ. The rapture is what He calls us out. At the end of the tribulation, when the Lord and us come back down to this earth to set foot on this earth, when the Lord takes it back, that is what is considered the return of Christ proper, which is the beginning of the thousand-year millennial reign, when we will reign with Him on earth for 1,000 years before we go to the ethereal heaven that He has prepared for us. Now, I know that was a lot, and there's a lot of things that that Paul mentions in this passage. The key and main thing is simply this. Do not miss the rapture. Do not miss when the trumpet sounds. Do not miss being called out to be with Him. That is the most critical thing. People have often said to me, they're like, well, I'll tell you one thing, I worry about all these things that are going to be taking place, things that biblically talk about are going to happen during the tribulation period. And people have asked me, they said, well, don't you worry about those things? And I said, no, I don't worry about them at all. And they say, well, how can you say that? How can you say you don't worry about that? And I'll say, because those are things that happen in the tribulation period. And as a believer, I'm not going to be here for that. I'm going to be with the Lord. And my prayer and trust and hope is that you will be with the Lord also, that we will be together when that terrible time of tribulation comes, that terrible time when people are deceived, that terrible time when people will actually be celebrating the death of two prophets, that time when spirituality and Christianity is hated to the utmost on this planet. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that in this day and age, prior to the rapture, that the Holy Spirit has His restraining hand upon the Antichrist. Yes, the Antichrist is alive and well today. Now, to kind of finish what we were talking about when I talked about the Antichrist, I believe that there's been an Antichrist candidate that Satan has had prepared willing and ready to go in place at the snap of a finger over the years. Now, I believe, I call it the depth chart. Just like in sports, there's a depth chart. Well, here's my starting five in basketball, but here's my number 6 man, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Well, you know, the Satan has always been waiting, and maybe this guy's aged out or phased out. Maybe his number one candidate aged or phased out, but he's always got one right behind him. So I believe that there have been different candidates to be the Antichrist over the years. And why do I say that? Remember what I said a moment ago. Because no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man will call us out to be with Him. And that includes Satan. That means he always has to have that Antichrist candidate ready. So, you know, people have said, well, do you think so-and-so could have been the Antichrist? Yeah, that's possible. Do you think this one could have been? All I know is this, that there is somebody that is ready to step into that position tomorrow if the rapture occurred and if the rapture took place. I'm so glad that right now the Holy Spirit is holding that Antichrist back, allowing God's work, allowing the Spirit to freely move in, among, and around us today, giving us the chance in this age of grace to give our life to Him, to trust Him, to serve Him, so that when the rapture occurs, we're out of here. We can be called home, and we can have that opportunity to spend eternity, which we can't comprehend, with our Lord and Savior. What a joy that will be. My prayer is that you will be with us when that time takes place. If not, if the Lord has already impressed upon your heart today that you need Him, you can begin that relationship right now by simply bowing your head and saying, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner today. I've heard You speak to my heart. Forgive my sin. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you did that, I can make you this promise. He has saved your soul. Listen to His leadership in your life. Listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance in your life. You just punched your ticket to be able to go out of here when the rapture occurs. And I tell people all the time, I said, we don't know what God's time frame is. This is not a real theological statement, but I've said we will leave this world in one of two ways. We'll either go by the grave through death or by the wave when He calls us out. And I am so joyous to know that if it happened today, I'm going to be sitting there. Hopefully I'll be waving at you as we have that opportunity to ascend to the presence of our Savior Jesus Christ. I want to go ahead and give you your five chapters to read for this week as we head into next week. Before I dismiss us in a word of prayer, your scripture readings for this week. Now, let me again preface. We're just asking you to read one chapter a day. I don't want you to try to cram all five of them in right before our Wednesday Bible study, but I want you to take one chapter a day. There's only five of them, and it's 7 days in a week. But read through that, prayerfully asking God to reveal Himself to you through His Word, because His Word truly is a living Word. Meditate on that chapter, that one chapter, for each day as we go forward. So the chapters we're going to be looking at this week, you'll start with 1 Timothy chapter 1, and you will read through 1 Timothy chapter 5. Again, just one chapter a day, from 1 Timothy chapter 1 through 1 Timothy chapter 5. And next Wednesday night, our topic is going to be praying for all people, and our text is going to come out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Pray for all people, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I also want to remind particularly our folks here, but folks anywhere, all across the United States or the world for that matter, that are watching this broadcast, that our Operation Christmas Child collection is coming up this Sunday. So if you're part of Central Baptist Church, or even if you're not part of Central Baptist Church, but you're in the area, and you have packed one of the Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes, which we'll show you here on the screen in just a moment. We're collecting those. We have an in gathering this coming Sunday. And what an in gathering is, that's just a church term to say that we ask you to bring your box to church with you. There'll be a time when I'll call us forward. You bring your box down. We ask that you lay it on the altar. As you lay it on the altar, we ask you to say a prayer for the child or family that will be receiving that box, that God will use that box in a mighty way to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or to have a very special event in their life with the Lord through the giving of that particular gift. We ask you to do that. We have an in-gathering this coming Sunday, and then we will have an in-gathering the following Sunday here at Central Baptist Church. But we're excited in light of the fact that we're also a regional collection center for Operation Christmas Child this year, which means that those who have done Operation Christmas Child in their churches that are in our region will be bringing all their boxes over to our church so that we can pack them up, and we will take them to Westover Church to be put on the tractor trailer truck and then sent to Samaritan's Purse in the Charlotte area. Miss Beverly Allred is our coordinator here at Central Baptist Church, and the collection times when we begin to do the regional collection is actually going to be November the 16th through November the 23rd. And Miss Bev could use you as a volunteer if the Lord so leads you to do so. Our collection times actually will be on from the 16th through the 21st are going to be 3 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. right here at Central Baptist Church. We'll need those. It's a drive-through drop-off, so people that will be bringing their boxes are going to be driving through. We'll be stacking them up, and then we'll be putting them in the containers to be shipped over to Westover, then on to Charlotte. But if you can help in that time frame from the 16th through the 21st, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., let Miss Beverly know. Then there's also a Saturday, the 22nd. Our collection time will be 2 to 5 p.m. And then on Monday, the 23rd, from 9 to 12 p.m. To get everything squared away. If you feel the Lord has led you to volunteer to help with the collection of these boxes, contact Miss Beverly Allred. You can get her telephone number by calling us at Central Baptist Church. Our number at the church is area code 336-643-7684. Once again, that's 336 843-7684, and we'll get you in contact with Miss Beverly, and we can't wait to see what God's going to do through the ministry of Operation Christmas Child. I hope and pray you'll participate with us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we dismiss, and thank you for joining us tonight. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to read your word. Lord, I'm so grateful and thankful that as I look through these particular passages, I'm grateful to realize that I'm not going to have to endure all the things that you said will take place during the time of the tribulation, because you will have called your children out to be with you already. Lord, help each and every one of us to be prepared and ready. Help each and every one of us, having received your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, be prepared so that when that trumpet sounds and when we look you face to face, we will have the opportunity to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, thank you for the words of warning that you give us. May we be prepared today, because at any moment the rapture could occur. The stage is set. Everything that you've said needs to take place prior to the rapture has happened. And Lord, it could be at any moment. May we be ready. May we stand prepared to meet you this very day, even before the sun goes down or even before this broadcast is over. Lord, bless each family that has joined us tonight by the airwaves. Lord, I pray you'll give them an extra portion of your grace along the way. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday.
Hey, I'm Jeff, and I need your help. I'm looking for some people to help us with the audio, with the video that we're putting out, so you can see us here, so you can hear Roy. He's talking on Wednesdays and Sundays. My challenge is, I'm looking for some people. Can I help build a pod in here? But if you happen to know somebody, or if you're interested, let us know. Please come and help us.
Because believe me, we need all the help we can get.
Somehow my story is a part of your plan.